This is Jason Holleran. I proudly served for 33 years, culminating as the Deputy Commandant at West Point. Put this on your calendar. World War II weekend inside Old Bethpage Village Restoration on Long Island. Scores of operational vintage armor, in formation, May 18th and 19th. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman invites you to join him in saluting America's greatest generation and all those who have worn the uniform in defense of our freedoms. That's May 18th and 19th, presented by the Museum of American Armor.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. Frog in the throat. Join us during the week. Fox Business. Name the show's Kudlow, 4 to 5 p.m. every day. And here you can live stream us on the internet. LarryKudlowShow.com. LarryKudlowShow.com. It's all it takes all around the country, throughout the world, and the solar system. So let's do some stock market work. Oh, my gosh. It was a kind of an ugly week for the stock market. Down 953 points on the Dow, 457 on the NAS, down 137 on the S&P 500. Yesterday was a bad day. The Dow's off 300 points. I'm looking at interest rates, too. I want our distinguished experts to tell me why interest rates are so low. The curve is badly inverted. I guess rates went up a little bit over the past week. The 10-year closed close to 360. That thing was 4.25 not too long ago. The curve is very badly inverted. And the inflation news was not good. And I don't think this story is going to have a happy ending, but, I mean, it will in the long run. It always does in the long run. Short run, not so much. Anyway, we have Stephanie Link, Chief Investment Strategist at Hightower Advisors and Head of Investment Solutions, and Kenny Pulcheri, Managing Partner at Case Capital Advisors and Chief Market Strategist at Slate Stone Wealth. So two experts. So I'll go to you, Stephanie. You're my optimist usually. I don't think things are looking, I mean, all that good. It's just kind of funny. The market is piddling around. I had Jason Trenard on the TV show. You know, Strategus, he's a very smart guy. He's pretty bearish about stocks and earnings, profits of the mother's milk of stocks. Kevin Hassett and I were talking on the radio a while back, earlier in the show, And you know, inflation's not really going away. I mean, it's a funny thing. John Carney said this too from Breitbart. Inflation is lower. I mean, maybe we've seen peak inflation, but it's kind of now hovering in this 4-6% range, which is 2 to 3 times the Fed's target, which suggests that the Fed is really going to tighten a lot more than Wall Street thinks it's going to tighten in the next whole bunch of months. So anyway, Stephanie, what do you make of this story?
Yeah, it's not a good one right at the moment. And I agree with you, long term, things will turn out just fine. But you know, we have to go through a little bit of volatility, I think, in the markets, because you mentioned peak inflation, but it's persistent inflation. Right.
I mean, right.
That's the thing. And I think yesterday we sold off on the PPI number that came in at 7.4%. I mean, even if you cut that in number in half, you're still above levels that we last saw in 2010, 2011. So inflation is here. It's sticky. A lot of the problems are wages. And that's not a problem for people. I want people to make more money. It's just a problem for profits and in corporations. And so I think the reality is from yesterday that, okay, maybe the number came in a little bit better than expected on a month-over-month basis, but it's still on an absolute level, still quite high. And that, to your point, means the Fed is going to have to continue being hawkish. And even if we are close to the terminal rate of, say, 5%, right? Even if we get there, they're probably going to stay there for quite some time. And that's a problem for equities, for risk on assets, for long duration assets. And so I think you're going to continue to see a trading range market, volatility elevated, and a little bit more of a tilt on value versus growth.
Oh, you know, you look at that PPI number, it's the last 3 months, 3/10, 3/10, 3/10. It's not going down anymore.
No.
So that's 3.6% at an annual rate for the past 3 months. So that's about twice the Fed's target. And as you said, the 12-month is 7.4. It's just not going down anymore. And I think you're going to see the same thing when the CPI comes out this week. The Cleveland Fed nowcast is, I think it's looking for 5/10 of a 0.5 number. But point is, not coming down. Mm-hmm. So Ken Pelcheri, Wall Street, I think, is underestimating two things, maybe. One is the so-called terminal Fed funds rate. But secondly, what does a deeply, we're getting into a very deeply inverted yield curve.
Right.
I mean, the three-month, the old Fed model, which was a very good model, New York Fed model, was the three-month bill versus the 10-year. So the three-month is, I'm going to call it 4.25. And the 10-year is 3, I'll call it 360. That's pretty deep inversion. And I'm quite surprised at how much that 10-year note yield has come down. In fact, I don't even understand it. Maybe we could switch there. Why are these longer-term rates coming down? What's up with that?
Well, I think to Stephanie's point is that the outlook continues to be dire, right? That the longer-term outlook continues to be dire. So short-term rates are going to provide a better yield, and people are very concerned about the long-term. If the terminal rate goes much above, you know, where are we? I think we're really at 5.25, is what I think the market is really prepared for, the upper end of that range. But I do think it goes higher, and then that's just going to put, like Stephanie said, more pressure on equities, more pressure on big corporations. And so, therefore, the longer-term picture looks a little bit more sour, right? It doesn't look, it's not coming up roses yet. And so I think, therefore, we're seeing that big dislocation. What's there, an 80 basis point spread, I think, now between either the 2-year and the 10-year or the 3-month and the 10-year? It's almost an 80 basis point spread, which is much bigger than it was even a month ago when it was like a 25 basis point spread. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a little bit more optimistic. But I think now what we're seeing is, to your point, to Stephanie's point, is that while inflation may be trending lower, and that's good, trust me, we're still far away from where we want to be, and it's becoming stickier in places where it's not going to change. Wages are not going to change right away, right? The other places where it's become sticky is not going to change. And I think that's going to be continue to be the problem for the Fed.
Stephanie Link, why bank stocks? KBW Bank Index off 5.5%. JPM down 2%. Citi down 5%. Goldman down 5.6%. Bank of America down 10%. This past week. What's going on there?
Yeah, I think, and that's horribly, but I think what it's telling us is we are seeing a major slowdown in the economy. We don't know if we're going to go into a recession or not next year, probably likely. The Fed is so behind the curve. I mean, inflation is starting to come down, but they just keep on ratcheting rates higher and higher. And then that's going to lead to a slowdown, and that's going to lead to possible credit conditions. I think people remember the great financial crisis. If we have a recession, it's not going to be like that. It's not going to be because of the banks. The banks are very well capitalized, but I think people are just nervous that a slowdown will lead to worsening credit and higher loan losses. I think it's as simple as that.
Would you touch?
Let me just say one thing. We all heard during the earnings season, and it started with Jamie Dimon, that all the big banks are allocating bigger reserves, to Stephanie's point, because they are all expecting credit problems in 2023 as we move through this economy and we enter this recession. They are allocating for it. They told everybody that during their earnings during their earnings call. So people should not be, you shouldn't be surprised when you see that.
There's a rumor, by the way, that Brian Moynihan, the CEO of Bank of America,
is going
to replace Janet Yellen as Treasury Secretary. Is that an uptick for Treasury, or is that an uptick for B of A, or what?
Look, he's done a really good job, and he was dealt a very tough hand in terms of running that company and righting the ship. And I think he's done a very, very good job in a challenging environment, and especially so on the cost side of things. He has really reined it in, and it's and that's why it has and it has been an operating leverage story. Stock is awfully cheap, one times book. I mean, and you're now starting to get some pretty interesting dividend yields. I mean, look at Morgan Stanley at 3.9%. I mean, these are big numbers, and they're very cheap stocks, but they're not going to outperform if we have a recession.
Well, that's the thing, Kenny. Okay, they're cheap, but would you buy them?
Well, it's funny, you know, I own them. Bank of America is one I own. JP Morgan is another one I own. I own them, but I'm not adding to them currently, right? I'm letting them kind of end up with a smaller percentage of my overall portfolio because I'm adding to other places, the more defensive sectors, the stuff that people need. But I'm not necessarily, to Stephanie's point, they are cheap. So if you want to get in and you're willing to kind of have a little bit of dead money for a while to just so you're there and you're prepared for when it turns, that might be okay. Might be a little bit early. But like I said, I own mine. I'm not selling them. I like the names, and I like the prospects. So I would be, if the market goes lower, I would be in those two names anyway because I already own them, would be a buyer.
All right. Well, hang on a second. Got to take a quick break. Stephanie Link, Hightower Advisors, Investment Solutions, Kenny Pulcari, Case Capital, and Slate Stone Wealth. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Now back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking stocks with Stephanie Link at Hightower Advisors and Investment Solutions and Kenny Pulcari at Case Capital and Slate Stone Wealth. Stephanie, oil nosedived today, or this past week, down $11. Let's see, West Texas, $71. Brent crude, $76.50. And energy stocks were the worst performer of the top 10 sectors, down 8.5%. What's going on there?
I think this goes back to higher rates, slower growth, and global growth overall slowing down. And so I think some people are nervous about the demand side of the equation. I still like this sector. And just to keep putting it in a perspective for you, I mean, the XLE is still up 49% year to date, mm-hmm. even after the correction. So I think this is a viable dip. I do think that the industry has changed, and they've changed because it's not they never got rewarded from being a boom to bust kind of sector or industry. So they've kind of gotten religion, and they basically are not overproducing given the higher prices. Instead, they're actually returning the cash and the free cash that they're generating to shareholders in terms of buybacks and dividends and special dividends and that sort of thing. And so, and that's a change. And that's definitely an industry change. And so I think you buy the dips because I think you're still going to have tight supplies. You know, certainly the war doesn't help any matters as well. And so I think you just make your shopping list.
Well, I thought Putin's war was causing oil prices to go up and that was the cause of inflation. But now Putin's still fighting the war, and oil prices are down. So which is
it? I do think that the war has put pressure on oil prices. But I think what's also happening is that you're not getting this massive overproduction in the industry. Hmm. You also have OPEC being very lean as well. So I think that there's a couple of different things that are going on. But I come back to the fact that any company that I've talked to, the CEOs and the CFOs and the executive suite, they've said they're not going to overproduce. They'd rather provide shareholder returns and using that free cash flow to increase dividends and to increase buybacks and that sort of thing. That's what they're doing. And it's just a different kind of a mindset versus in a historical context.
Well, Ken Pulcari, speaking of oil stocks, how about ESG stocks? Biden administration loves ESG stocks. I'm trying to figure out the is there an ESG thing, an ESG metric?
You know, worthwhile? I don't even know. There's a couple of ESG ETFs if you want to use those as a metric. But, you know, I think that's kind of a passe story now. You see what's happening at Blackstone. You have big investors that are pulling money out because their money's not being used to make political statements and or ESG statements. Their money's being invested to put to work to provide a return, right? So I think the whole ESG thing is starting to fade, although it may not go away completely, but I don't invest based on ESG. I just don't, right? I might appreciate companies that pay attention to it, but I'm not making investment decisions based on how everybody handles their ESG. I'm making investments on what I think that company is going to do in the current environment that we're in, right?
Well, the Bidens just put through a regulation that's pushing ESG. It's not mandating it, but it's basically, it's sort of pushing ESG to keep money out of the fossil fuels, you know, the evil, horrible, world-ending, climate-destroying fossil fuels, which we need more of, not less.
Right. Right, but they've been doing that. He ran on that, right? He told everyone he was going to do that.
Yeah, he did. You're absolutely right about that. Probably going to run a second time on it. This is such a great success the first time.
I think what's interesting is I think part of, to Stephanie's point about the demand and the supply story, I think part of it is also last week when we saw oil rally a little bit, there was that expectation that maybe the Saudis and OPEC were going to cut once again. Then they didn't. Then Joe Biden released them of any immunity, you know, gave them complete immunity against Khashoggi. So trying to make friends with them to make sure that they completely, you know, continue to pump oil. Right. Because the world needs it. And the China story, by the way, that reopening story, I think that's bullish. I think that's much more about increasing demand. So I think this pullback in oil is, like Stephanie said, a viable dip. I like oil in the long term. Again, it's a sector I own. It's a sector I like. I like the big names in that space. Right. Mm-hmm. ExxonMobil.
And you know, Kenny, I totally agree with you on China. I don't think it's getting enough enough attention in terms of.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is either. And look, Gigi just went and met with the Crown Prince there, and you know, yesterday they gave him all kinds of accolades about their relationship and how the Saudis are going to balance the oil supply, and they're a great supplier of energy to China. I think that story's not getting enough attention at all.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things about 2023 that I don't know, maybe there's some tailwind. If you get China to reopen, that's obviously a positive. If you get the dollar to continue, and maybe it just stabilizes, but it doesn't go higher. You know just as well as I do that earnings were hit about 8% because of the strong dollar last quarter alone. So if you get the dollar to kind of stabilize, you get inflation to start to come down, you get supply chains easing, and then throw in again that China story. Those are some nice tailwinds. I know we have to worry about demand, and that's a big problem and a big question mark, but I don't think it's all so gloom and doom.
I don't think so either. I think there's plenty of demand out there.
Would you buy or sell bonds? 10 years at 3.58, which I think, would you buy or sell bonds?
I think the short duration bonds are very, very interesting, right? So the 2 year or the 5 years, I think if people are really nervous, I think they provide great opportunity. And I think you have to start looking at some of the asset classes, some of the ranges in the bond market. But yes, I would start to buy bonds.
Really?
The shorter duration, right? The 2 years. Would be in the 2 year duration.
You think short rates are going to come down?
I think short rates.
Want to bet?
I think they're probably going to. No, I don't think they're going to come down. I think they're going to stay right in here. You think they're coming down?
No, they're going up. They're going up more than you think. They're going up more than almost any human being thinks. The Fed's terminal rate is going to be higher than any human being thinks. That's
okay,
my guess.
I'll wait.
That's my guess. That's my prediction. Really?
What do you think, Larry? What do you think? A six handle?
Yes.
Yeah.
A six handle on 2 year rate?
No. Oh, yes, but a six handle on the Fed funds rate.
Oh, on the Fed funds rate. Yeah. No, I agree. I think a six handle on the Fed funds rate as well, somewhere between 6 and 7.
I mean, we're heading for a double dip recession. We had a recession the first half of this year. We've had a comeback in the second half of this year. But peak inflation has not given way to a continued inflation decline. And if the Fed is going to I'm just babbling out loud here. I get this way. You know, it's 2.5 hours. I got another half hour to go on the show. But I'm just saying, the Fed is if the Fed is going to defend its 2% inflation target, then the so-called terminal Fed funds rate has got to be much higher. That's all I'm saying. And in those circumstances, all these rates are going to be higher. Every one of them. If the Fed is going to, Stephanie, if I appeal to you and your rational thinking, if the Fed is going to keep squeezing its balance sheet down, if quantitative tightening continues, that was the put for bonds. That's going away. They're not going to defend bonds anymore. That's why I don't understand this 10-year rally. It's a recession rally, I suppose. But I think it's a head fake. That's all.
I think it's definitely a recession rally for sure, especially on the long end, right? That's telling the net growth is going to slow substantially. So you know what's interesting, Larry and Kenny? I think people forgot you could lose money in bonds.
Right?
I mean, right. And you're losing a lot of money this year, a lot, double digits.
Right.
And I mean, I think people kind of like come to expect equities to be, you know, some years good, some years bad. But bonds, I think people thought, okay, we'll be fine. And they're not. And so now when you ask the question, would you buy bonds? I mean, at least it's a conversation to be had. Before, there was no alternative, right? It was,
no, agreed.
You didn't get anything out of fixed income. Yeah. So,
agreed. But
so
they
now
had,
you look in. Yeah. Now, and now you say, wait, maybe 60-40, the asset allocation, maybe that actually does make sense, right?
Might becoming the value play all over again.
Yeah.
Stay away from ESG. That's the moral of the story. Brian Moynihan for Treasury Secretary. Stephanie Link, thank you.
Thank
Ken Polcari, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Larry Kudlow. We'll be back with Money and Politics, Liz Peek, and Steve Moore. Please stay with us.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.